Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 8th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Central Illinois CEO, High Schools, From Students to Entrepreneurs. Programs help kids prepare, execute business plans. This is from Forsyth. Briley Carter started his small business, Squeegees, when he was in eighth grade. I asked my mom for $500 to buy supplies, the Clinton High School junior said. By the end of the first day, I'd made enough to pay her back. Carter's customers are individuals and businesses for whom he keeps their windows clean, and they keep him busy, he said. Most of his business comes from word of mouth. Carter is a student in Central Illinois CEO, an entrepreneurship training program for high school juniors and seniors. Students have to go through rigorous application processes and spend part of their school day each day in the program, which meets at various locations in big and small businesses in the community served. Blue Ridge High School in Farmer City, Clinton High School, Maroa Forsyth High School, and Warrensburg Latham High School. In the fall, the entire group of 15 worked together to create A Roaring Murder, a dinner theater murder mystery production with two nights of performances. The students had to audition actors, find a script, find a venue, sell tickets, publicize the event, and do every bit of the work themselves. They made $44,600 in revenue, and after the $18,400 in expenses, netted a profit of $26,200. That money was put into a fund. In the spring, the students each created his or her own business, complete with a business plan, visits with bankers to seek funding, which came from the money they made in the fall, and present their plans to the CEO board for approval. The students are required to wear business attire to class and handle their own transportation to each site, and to make arrangements, if necessary, with their high schools if travel to a site means they'll be absent or late returning for their regular classes, said Melanie Brown, facilitator for Central Illinois CEO. This week, the students' final exam, as it were, was to hold a business expo at Hickory Point Mall, where family, friends, and public were invited to visit their business booths to purchase goods and services. Jay Heinlein, also a junior at Clinton High School, created Heinlein Media. He makes videos for businesses' social media and handles all the work of making the videos and getting them in front of the public. He began with realtors, who often post videos of homes for sale, but he has expanded to any business who wants to use videos to advertise. Alyssa Edwards, a senior at Blue Ridge High School, once enjoyed having professional manicures and used money she earned at a part-time job to pay for it. Until one day it occurred to her that she was spending a lot of money and time on manicures when her own artistic abilities could help her achieve the same result at home. And a business idea was born. I paint and design the acrylic nails by hand, she said. And her booth, Nailed It, included a display of a wide variety of colors and designs that customers can buy and apply at home. Designs suitable for any taste, whether the whimsical monkeys or more understated colors a professional woman might prefer. Elite Cruise covers made by Maroa Forsyth senior Michael Clary are car seat covers with custom designs, some of which he created, others that are custom orders with designs requested by buyers. My first car had a big hole in the upholstery, Clary said with a chuckle, to explain where the idea originated, and he realized that people who had pets, for example, might want seat covers to keep the pet hair off the car seats, or people who went swimming might want to keep the seats dry, or if they'd been hiking or fishing or doing anything that would mean they had to get into their car with dirty or wet clothes, a simple, removable, yet attractive seat cover would be something they would want. Brown said students like those in this group, with their confidence and energy, give hope for the future of the community. And one of the goals of Central Illinois CEO is to show high school students that there are opportunities and careers right here in their hometowns, in the hope that they will stay in the area as adults and make their homes and build their families here. It has been a true privilege to work with and get to know this group of students, Brown said. I have no doubt that whatever paths they choose, they will continue to lead, innovate, and succeed. These students are not just the next generation of entrepreneurs. They're the next generation of leaders, and their journey is only beginning. And the photo here on page A5 shows Camille Tedrick shopping with Clinton High School junior Paisley Schick and her business, Tied and True, Twilly Charm Necklaces at the Central Illinois CEO Trade Show at Hickory Point Mall in Decatur on Wednesday, May 6th. Tedrick is one of the mentors in the entrepreneurship training program. Now, I'm very impressed, she said, of the high schoolers. And Paisley Schick, the vendor, the young woman, high schooler, selling her wares, and it looks like there are ties, headband-type things of different fabrics and patterns. And Camille Tedrick is checking them out. And there's, in the background, there are other people at other tables. There's necklaces on a stand and little boxes that have things in them, probably bits of jewelry for sale. And on the front page, the large photo shows Maroa Forsyth High School's junior, Sydney Potala, making a sale with her business scripted in paper greeting cards at the Central Illinois CEO Trade Show at Hickory Point Mall, in Decatur on Wednesday, May 6th. And Ms. Potala is smiling and handing a customer one of her cards, and we see a display of her cards. Some say happy birthday, some say mother, some, they're nicely decorated and in like pastel colors. And then a smaller photo shows Maroa Forsyth High School senior Jaskaran Singh answering questions about his business, 3E playing cards, during the Central Illinois CEO Trade Show at Hickory Point Mall in Decatur on Wednesday, May 6th. And the young Mr. Singh is smiling, talking with a customer, and there's a display of his goods, and there's pots of geranium around to make the table more attractive. There's a bottle, clear bottle with some red basketry around it, and frames, different frames with things in them, and little, it's hard to tell, playing cards, 3E playing cards is what he's selling, but he's made his table very attractive. Also on the front page, it's a state education funding formula progress viewed. Lawmakers consider if evidence-based model is addressing inequities. This is from Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. As budget negotiations kicked into high gear at the Illinois Statehouse this week, lawmakers from both chambers have begun to assess how much progress has been made under the evidence-based funding formula for public schools. That was the formula lawmakers passed in 2017 that was supposed to bring about greater equity in school funding by increasing the state's share of overall school funding and directing the new money to the most underfunded districts in the state. The budget lawmakers passed this year will be the 10th written under that formula. But as the anniversary approaches, state records show that despite an additional $3 billion in state funding for public schools during that time, most of the state's 851 districts remain underfunded, including dozens that receive less than 70% of what the formula says they need to operate effectively. The underfunding is not theoretical. It has real consequences across the state, Crystal Mallory, a lobbyist for the Illinois Federation of Teachers, told a Senate committee Tuesday. We're beginning to see staffing shortages and increased attrition program cuts and loss of student supports, districts developing deficit reduction plans due to uncertainty, she said. How EBF works. Under the original bill, the state is supposed to add $300 million each year in new funding for pre-K through 12 schools, plus an additional $50 million for property tax relief grants that are awarded to certain high-tax districts. The law also uses a formula to calculate an adequacy target for each district based on its size and demographic factors, such as the number of students from low-income households or students who are English language learners. The law then uses a formula to calculate each district's current adequacy percentage, taking into account how much they can raise from local taxes, how much they can receive in federal funding, and how much money they currently receive from the state. Under the law, every district is guaranteed to receive at least the same amount of state funding as they received the previous year. But priority for new funding is given to districts that are furthest below their adequacy target. Since its enactment, the cumulative increases have totaled more than $4 billion in annual funding for public schools. That includes just over $3 billion through the EBF formula. Lawmakers have also increased funding for items outside the formula, such as career and technical education, as well as transportation and other mandated categorical expenses. This has brought total general revenue fund spending for pre-K through 12 public schools to $11.2 billion this fiscal year. Still, according to Illinois State Board of Education officials, bringing all districts up to at least 90% of their adequacy target, which was the original goal of the EBF formula, would cost yet another $3 billion. Fully funding the mandated categorical expenses would cost another $600 million beyond that. Funding inequities. According to ISBE data, the 851 elementary, high school, and unit school districts in the state, 532, or 63%, currently receive less than 90% of their adequacy target under the formula, including 48 districts, or 5.6%, that receive less than 70%. There are 223 districts funded at 100% or more than their adequacy target, including 14 that are funded by greater than 200%. The Ohio Community School District 505 in Bureau County has the highest funding ratio at 354%. Carbondale Community High School, District 165, at 61% of adequacy, is the least funded district. Stacy Schulte, a middle school teacher in the Grant Community Consolidated School District 110 outside East St. Louis, testified about the conditions in her school. ISBE records show that district in Fairview Heights is currently funded at 75% of adequacy. Our students don't have health programs, music classes, the opportunity to learn languages, or anywhere close to a technology curriculum, she said. Just now we're trying to buy textbooks that haven't been replaced in a decade. Keeping things current and up to date is pretty important in the world these kids live in, and we haven't had the funding to do it. Our students have been sitting with outdated material as the world moves on. Cost of full funding. Mallory and Schulte both testified in favor of Senate Bill 3701, sponsored by Senator Graciela Guzman, Democrat of Chicago. It would require the state to fully fund the formula. That would mean providing enough state money to bring all districts up to at least 100% of their adequacy target, starting in the upcoming fiscal year. The bill also calls on the state to fully fund the additional costs districts incur, known as mandated categorical expenses, which are not covered by the EBF formula. SB 3701 would not actually provide that additional funding. That would still have to be approved separately each year as part of the regular budgeting process. If the state says that a service is required, the state should fund it, Guzman said of her bill. And then if the state has defined what adequate education looks like, the state should also fund that. So if we're serious about equity, property tax relief, and supporting public schools across Illinois, then we have to stop treating underfunding as if it's normal. Republican Senator Terry Bryan of Murfreesboro, who voted for the original EBF bill in 2017, said she supported the concept of the bill, but questioned whether the state could afford to pay for it without raising taxes. "I don't have a problem with doing it. I want to do it," she said. "I'm not supportive of new taxes. I am supportive of priority. So provided this becomes priority-driven, I'm all for it." Results of increased funding. During a House budget hearing in April, ISBE Chairman Stephen Issoi said the increased funding the state has put into the formula so far is paying dividends. After 9 years of investment, the number of districts at or above 90% adequacy has grown from 194 to 313, and outcomes show real progress, he said. Graduation rates are at a 15-year high. Achievement gaps are narrowing. Student growth exceeds pre-pandemic levels, and Illinois 8th graders now outperform national averages in reading and math. But during a separate hearing Tuesday on the EBF formula in the House's K-12 Education Budget Committee, Representative Blaine Wilhauer, Republican of Beecher City, expressed skepticism that Illinois students are performing any better than they did before the formula was adopted, despite the increased funding. "You've set real benchmarks in the formula as far as what you expect on spending," he said. "We need real benchmarks on what we expect on student outcomes in conjunction with that spending, because it looks to me like there's really nothing." Cynthia Lund, ISBE's chief governmental relations officer, explained that the funding formula is not tied to student performance outcomes. But she said the state tests students each year and reports the results of those tests on the annual state report card, adding that those reports have indicated strong growth in student performances in recent years. "Well, I think a lot of people would disagree," Wilhauer said. And there's a photo here on page 5 showing the members of the Senate Education Budget Committee listening as Crystal Mallory of the Illinois Federation of Teachers testifies in favor of a bill calling for full funding of the state's evidence-based funding formula. There are several. Her back is to us. She's sitting at a table, and the rest of the committee is sitting on in their seats at in risers. I mean, you know, it rises up. Another story starting on the front page, Decatur Schools. Retirement lunch sends off Clark. Decatur Public Schools Superintendent Rochelle Clark hosted a retirement luncheon this week to thank all of the people who have supported her. "I've spent 32 years in education," Clark said. "I used to think I wanted to be a nurse, but then I asked myself, what are you doing?" She started her educational career as a teaching assistant working with 5 teachers in special education. "That's when something clicked," she said. "This is your calling. The job is not always easy, but it's always rewarding," she said. She went back to school and earned her teaching credentials and never looked back. The luncheon, held at Main Street Church of the Living God, included representatives from her executive team, school principals, the school board, Decatur Police Department, Macon County Sheriff's Office, volunteer organizations like Caring Black Men, Richland Community College, Millikan University, the media, and the faith community. "Even when I've had to make hard decisions, even when we didn't agree, you said, 'We've got your back,'" Clark said. "That meant the world to me." Clark's last day will be June 26th, and incoming superintendent Nicole Nash Moody, who attended the luncheon, said she's looking forward to building on the foundation laid by Clark. The two women talked to each other with animation throughout the luncheon, with many smiles and much laughter, and Clark called Moody "my sister from another mister." As she finished her talk, Clark said she has not mentioned her faith before, but as she retires, she wanted to stress her dependence upon her faith as one of the pillars that strengthened her. "My God is amazing," Clark said. "Thank you, God, for all I've ever had," she said. Bishop James Wills, pastor of Love Fellowship Church, prayed both grace before the meal and to close the event, and asked God to bless Moody and guide her, as he has guided Clark. And the photos here on page A5 show the Decatur Superintendent Rochelle Clark sharing a laugh with Safety and Security Administrator Vladimir Talley. Mr. Talley sitting at a table in a chair, and Ms. Clark is standing behind him, and they're both smiling. And then another photo shows Decatur Public Schools Superintendent Rochelle Clark hugging Michelle Mitchell, president of the Decatur Federation of Teaching Assistants, at her retirement luncheon on Wednesday, May 6th. And we see several tables with black tablecloths and white napkins, several round tables, and people sitting in the background. And there's a cross showing that it is a church hall. Main Street, says the placard with the cross on it. In local news on page A2, man shot by police held on assault charges. Suspect who allegedly pointed crossbow at police jailed after stay at hospital. The Decatur man who was shot by police after he reportedly pointed a crossbow at officers has been released from the hospital and is now being held in the Macon County Jail. Michael Bolliard, 54, is charged with felony counts of aggravated assault of a police officer, armed violence and possession of a controlled substance, cocaine, and armed violence, as well as a misdemeanor charge of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The charges stem from an April 22nd incident during which Decatur police were dispatched at approximately 9:22 a.m. to the 400 block of East William Street in the area of the Senator Severance Transit Center regarding a person armed with a gun or a crossbow. According to a sworn affidavit filed with the court, Bolliard entered the side door of the building at 411 East William when police arrived. Officers pursued and made contact with Bolliard inside the establishment, where they observed him armed with a crossbow, the affidavit said. During the encounter, three officers discharged their firearms, striking Bolliard multiple times. Officers provided immediate medical aid on scene, and Bolliard was transported to a local hospital with injuries. A search of Bolliard immediately following the encounter led to the discovery of 16.1 grams of cocaine. The affidavit also indicates state police agents interviewed the person who initially called the police to report Bolliard with a crossbow and obtained a video of Bolliard getting out of a black sedan with a crossbow and pointing it at the person. The state police is continuing its independent investigation of the incident, as is standard protocol in officer-involved shootings, which was captured on police body cameras. Bolliard appeared in court Wednesday afternoon for arraignment, but the hearing was continued to Thursday afternoon amid questions about his legal representation. In state news, Mayor Johnson presses state for more funding. This is from Springfield. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and an army of suburban mayors descended on Springfield on Wednesday to call on the General Assembly to boost funding for local governments. That's a top priority for Illinois mayors this year, as Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposed budget keeps the percentage of funding for the local government distributive fund flat. The mayors say that they're struggling to close gaps in their budget and need more funding from the state to provide services to residents. The governor proposed reducing the share that municipalities get from income tax collections from 6.47% to 6.28%. While a decrease in percentage, the governor's office said it would keep total funding for LGDF flat at $2.3 billion in fiscal year 2027 due to rising income tax collections. That's $60 million less than the state would spend otherwise, according to budget documents from Pritzker's office. In an ideal world, the mayors want their LGDF cut returned to 10%, a number that it hasn't come close to since 2011. In that year, lawmakers raised the income tax to 5% from 3%, drastically increasing income tax receipts. In turn, they lowered the percentage of the tax that goes to locals so that overall funding would remain about equal year after year. Since 2011, Illinois Municipal League data shows that local governments receive $13 billion less than they would have under the 10% rate. The distribution rate has changed over the years, but it has never risen back to 10% and has hovered between 6 and 7% since fiscal year 2021. Despite that, the annual appropriation for LGDF is the highest it has ever been. Pritzker's budget. Pritzker introduced a $56 billion spending plan that represents roughly 0.5% spending growth in most areas compared to the current fiscal year. Johnson said Pritzker's proposal means Chicago would receive $12.7 million less from the LGDF in fiscal year 27 if the rate remained the same. We cannot balance the state fund or state budget on the backs of local governments at a time when federal support is dwindling, Johnson said at a news conference outside the Capitol. Our residents pay into this fund and through their income taxes, and they most certainly deserve their fair and equitable share of the benefits of their contributions. Johnson told reporters in Chicago Tuesday that if state lawmakers raised LGDF funding by 1%, it would net the city an additional $80 million. These cuts inhibit our ability to increase accessibility on our public transit system, make the investments we need to build safe communities, and build on the affordable housing that we need to continue to do in order to grow our respective cities, Johnson said. Fox Lake Mayor Donnie Schmidt Jr. said that he needs more funds to provide flood relief, while Broadview Mayor Katrina Thompson said she wants more from the state after clashes between protesters and immigration agents outside a detention center in the village last year cost the municipality $700,000 plus economic losses. Pritzker's office pushed back, saying the proposed budget holds local governments harmless, maintains the same income tax dollars as last year, and continues record levels of overall support. Since 2019, the governor has increased revenue sharing with local governments by nearly $1 billion, a 71% increase, and enacted more than $2.5 billion annually in additional ongoing resources through transportation funding, cannabis legalization, video gaming, casino expansion, and other measures. Excuse me. A spokesperson for Pritzker said in a statement. Democratic Representative Anthony DeLuca, former Chicago Heights mayor, disputed that assessment. I can speak confidently for the mayors here that in return for the 10% LGDF, they would forfeit many of those items that were listed in that release, he said. The issue has led to a rare alliance between Chicago's progressive mayor and Republican state lawmakers. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review dated Friday, May 8th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.